Hello and welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson-Obert. How you doing?
Very well.
Cole, very how are well. You doing?
Wonderful.
Yeah. Just amazing. He wanted to come on because I'm home. He wanted to come on for some Civil War talk.
Absolutely.
And listen, all three of us are in the playoffs, including Mike.
We need to get Mike in here, too.
Mike, where are you? This is the playoff we expected at the beginning of the season. It ended up working out the way we kind of thought. I went back and looked at the schedule to see kind of where we were. But first, let's walk you through last week. Do you want to talk about your game first?
Oh yeah, I laid a stinker. Quite frankly, Justin Fields was on a bye, and it was down to Kyler Murray, who then pretty much I think he tore his ACL.
Yeah,
he basically died.
Very first few snaps of that game, so that was extremely ugly. And then right at the end, the rest of my team kind of just laid a fucking egg, and I only put up 81 points. So Cedric won. He played terrible himself.
102 points,
right? And I'm sure we'll get into this more later, but it is pretty much just a war of attrition now.
Yep.
Teams don't have bodies, so
yeah. I have a stat. Once we start getting into the playoff and predicting who we think is going to win, I have a stat that it's going to shine a light as to some of the problems we've had so far this season. Do you want to get into your game?
I mean, all my players played pretty mediocre. Kind of just edged out a win. And that's all I could have asked for.
Yeah, a bunch of 22s, 21s, just a lot of double digits in here. Only one person scoring under 10 points. And it was a starting running back, which is a problem.
Well, okay, but I've had that issue all year. It's fixed itself for the past couple weeks, but...
Other than your second starting running back spot.
And I had two tight ends put up over 10 points.
You did. Dawson Knox and Dalton Schultz both had 14 points. Other than that, everybody on your bench... You really didn't have a bench. You had Robert Woods and Davante Adams.
Well, and it's the first time all year that Robert Woods has put up over 8 points.
That is also true. Robert Woods has been terrible.
He's been awful.
Mike won his game against Ohio, put up 168 points, won 168 to 110. Pretty anticlimactic. Ohio put up more projected points. Put up more points than projected. Russell Wilson had his best game of the season. Put up 26.5 points. Actually, it's his second best game. He had a 30-point game in like week 5 against the Raiders.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that one.
Had Michael Thomas in his starting lineup, who's on IR, and then had two other players that were on byes in his starting lineup. So he definitely felt it. I, on the other hand, had my best week of the season, which is terrible because I literally could have scored 81 points in one. I won 218 to 80.5 points. Trevor Lawrence got me 40 points. Christian McCaffrey got me 30. Miles Sanders got me 28.5. Mike Williams with 24. Debo, that's going to be a tough loss, got 14.5. Pat Freiermuth with 12.5. Austin Eckler, 24.5. James Conner, 23.5. I mean, it was just a bunch of 25s and 26s. And obviously, Trevor Lawrence going for 40 points definitely helps. Really could have used that next week instead of this week. So we'll have to see how the team responds.
Why'd you put up an egg next week?
That's exactly what I'm worried about. I'm worried that that's going to happen. So our matchups for the first round of the playoffs. So obviously the teams that didn't make it are Alabama, Ohio, Texas, and Florida. Now Florida was the only one that we thought had a real opportunity to win at like midway of the season. It was like there are five teams that we really think could make the playoffs. Texas was kind of a fringe team.
Texas at the very beginning was
very beginning they were like 3-0 I think 3-1 right. They started out first place,
putting up straight up points.
Yeah, and ever since then I can actually go look at their point total. You can on the phone. Made it so that it's adaptable on your laptop now. Sleeper dead. Oh, so that's kind of cool. But the one downside is I can't look at the schedule of teams individually like you can on the phone. But you're absolutely right. They had quite the start to this season, and then it all kind of just fell apart. in a big way too. They finished 6-8. Ohio finishes 5-9. Alabama finishes 2-12. I was, when I was putting together the graphic, because at the beginning of the season, it was like everybody had a mirror record of somebody. It was like, you go, we finished that way. We had a 12-2. We had a 2-12. We had a 5-9. We had a 9-5, 8-6, 6-8, and then 7-7, in the middle. So, interesting how that kind of finished that way. Let's get into the matchups next week. So I'm facing you. Right now I'm projected to win. The laptop, the computer version right now says 128-87.
Oh wow,
that can't
the
be.
The phone version says 162-159.
That's what I remember. That's what I remember seeing. You're projected to score 150 points. Mike is projected 131 on here. I don't know how.
I'm also projected. Yeah, I'm projected 166, and Mike's projected 161.
I don't know why that's translating that way. Let me look. Oh, because it has Kyler Murray in your starting lineup, as well as Javonte Williams and Cooper Kupp.
Right.
And Darren Waller. So that's how you're going to score 80 points. You want to talk about your matchup?
Okay. So Amon-Ra St. Brown has been very important to my team over the past 4 weeks, I would say. And if he has Sauce Gardner guarding him...
He won't.
You sure?
Yeah, because Sauce is an outs. He's a boundary corner, and Amon-Ra lines up in the slot. So I actually think this works out better for Amon-Ra because DJ Chark isn't going to get any targets.
That's true. But do you?
But that Jets defense is for real.
Is very good.
Yes, but Sauce is not going to be covering him. So if that's your worry, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, then let's see.
I don't even know who their slot corner would be. But
I don't know.
I don't know either, because it used to be Bryce Calhoun, I think. He's on the Rams or Chargers or something like that now. Yeah. He's in LA. So.
And I'm predicting A.J. Brown 40-plus points this week.
Yeah.
Who's he going up against?
The Bears.
They're going up against the Bears defense.
Oh, yeah.
No, really A.J. Brown's going to score a lot of points. That's going to be very good.
That works out well for me. I got Miles Sanders. So hopefully he has another huge game. He went for over 100 yards and a couple touchdowns, or just one touchdown, I think, but put up 28.5 points. I feel like you know, your matchup is a pretty good one.
It's fairly even.
I think it really is. You look at the point totals from last, you get 168 for Louisiana, and then you put up 163. I think that this is, you know, going to be an interesting matchup, and it's really going to come down to how well do the Bengals play against the Buccaneers this week. We saw the 49ers take advantage of that defense. Is Louisiana going to be able to do the same? Because your team's is all over the place, really. You don't rely on you know, too many teams.
It's multiple big players for separate teams.
Exactly. And that's why your team has been so dynamic this year, although it has hurt a little bit. Yeah,
for sure.
Whereas, you know, Mike's concentrating most of his on, you know, a few teams. And if they don't play well, then he's kind of shit out of luck.
Right.
Yeah.
If I had to pick...
One team that California has that if they go nuts, it kind of helps us, is the Chargers. But that, I mean, it's only two guys.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, they've yet to go absolutely.
It's because Keenan hasn't been healthy.
Yeah, Keenan hasn't been healthy, so he's been feeding Austin Eckler on...
Right, and everything is 5 yards and less.
Exactly. And so Justin Herbert had no one to throw the ball to downfield, so he wasn't getting very many...
Yeah, our teams are very different in the sense that I think... 8 or 9 guys on 4 teams combined. So I really rely on the Niners, the Chargers, the I'm missing a team here.
Raiders?
It's the Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
The Cardinals. I rely on those teams to do really well because I have, you know, at least 2 guys, if not more, from those teams. The stat I wanted to talk to you about, because the reason why I think this game is so interesting is because I looked at players who are either going to be doubtful for this week, out or are currently on IR. California's got 2 of their 22-man roster, or 20, I don't know if 20 maybe, I don't know what we're at, and Louisiana's got 3. Me and you both have 5.
Which is BS. I'm just going to say it right now because...
It is.
So you know, like you said, it's a war of attrition. Right now, it's about who is the healthiest team, and it's California, and it's not close. The problem with your team.
It's Rashad Penny.
You don't have running backs.
Yes, and Rashad Penny was the one running back that was helping me so much, And he's been out the entire year, which I was very sad about. So,
yeah, it's, and I looked at that. I was like, because you've been talking about it, like this, especially this week, you had a bunch of guys on buys and you're talking about how the injury bug was getting you. And I was like, okay, let's see how many he has. And I was like, five? Whew, that's tough. And then I went and looked at mine. I was like, well, with Debo being out now, that's five for me too.
The problem I'm running into is like, yeah, I don't have guys. And that was really the bad thing last week. But it's like, where am I going to get points from at that quarterback position?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
It's frustrating because now, even if Fields plays, all right, now he's sick. So let's say he's 80, 90%. He doesn't have his best game and he goes for 15 points. It's like, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, who knows if I can overcome that?
And it, you know, because you are so deep at like a position like running back, I feel like you might be okay. You might be able to weather the storm a little bit. But Ramondre Stevenson's questionable. Josh Jacobs is questionable. Damian Pierce is doubtful. Like you are dealing with a lot of injuries right now. Really, the only guys you're going to be able to count on are like Joe Mixon and CeeDee Lamb and Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones.
Yep.
Like those are going to be your guys.
It's tough, but hey, that's what I think. Who's the Patriots wide receiver on my
team? Jacoby Myers. He is questionable as well.
Jacoby Myers. He didn't play last week. I don't know if he's going to play this week. So it's ugly.
Right now, for me, Debo's going to be out. Christian McCaffrey's questionable, but he's questionable every single week. Usually ends up playing. DJ Moore is questionable. He got knocked out of that game. Didn't play very well. Kenny Pickett, who at this point, I really don't care. As long as Trevor Lawrence is playing really well, it doesn't matter who my other quarterbacks are. Tyler Boyd's questionable. Pat Freiermuth's questionable. Now, if Pat Freiermuth doesn't play, I'm in a world of hurt because I don't have a tight end, and my tight ends have consistently gotten me 12 points this season. That's going to be a huge swing. He played like 57% of the snaps last week for Pittsburgh. He was able to score a touchdown. Otherwise, he didn't get a huge target share. I would think it's five targets, caught three of them for 33 yards. And if one of them wasn't a touchdown, I mean, you know, what kind of week are you looking at? So if my wide receivers don't show up, then like they have been inconsistent all year, then it's going to be like, well, can I rely on my running backs to do exactly what they did last week? Probably not. We'll see. But I wouldn't imagine that you know, you can count on that. And this is why, you know, we're talking about for a fix for next year. And let me know your thoughts on this. For every guy you have on IR, you can drop him and pick up another guy in your, obviously
within the rules,
within the rules of the game. But that way you, cause this, like this week, it's like we're in the playoffs and we're talking about two teams that are going to be able to field, you know, 75% of their team.
Yeah, no, right. I think there should definitely be a rule with that. Because earlier I would have been, when Rashad Penny went out, I would have been able to pick up Ramondre Stevenson. And then when we did the like mid-season pickup, I got Jamal Williams, which was helpful. Yep. But I would have been able to have two.
So the first thing we're going to do is expand the roster. I think we started at 18. And the reason why I did 18 is because people were already complaining about how big the draft was. And I was like, okay, well, we'll go to 18. Turns out 18 is not enough for a setup like this, especially when 10 guys are playing a week, especially once you get to buys, injuries happen. And then, obviously, for the injuries, because they've been such a huge thing, you put that in place and hopefully something changes for the better. The only problem is like a guy like Carson Wentz, because I was looking at your roster, a guy like Carson Wentz didn't get hurt, but he got benched. So like, what do you do? I think you just got to keep him on the team.
I agree.
Yeah, because then that's a drafting error.
Yeah, okay. I thought of that. I was like, well, a guy's benched, but I feel like if a guy gets benched, well, you should have seen that coming.
Or at least, you know, been able to deal with the fact that, like, hey, I drafted a mid quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to get, there's a good chance he could get benched.
Yeah. I think that's, but and like,
keep in mind, like, a lot of the rules we made was, so it was like, hey, listen, we have a lot of idiots in our league. Let's make it so that, like, you don't have to do hardly any work.
Exactly.
It's just the team you have, rather than, oh, all these teams are, you know, picking up guys, dropping guys. And then one team is stacked at the end of the year, and then the next team is awful. So we're kind of trying to circumvent that, but it's hard when you get to the playoffs to field the full roster like you were talking about.
Yeah, and so we're not going to change it now. Our rosters are our rosters for the rest of the season. There's no point in changing it now. But for next year, and I'm going to throw this out there, if anybody's listening at the 15-minute mark of this podcast, if you want to join and are willing to put in the work, we would love to have you, because I feel like we've got a group of five people that are really committed, and maybe four. We'll see. You know how Mike feels about it, but
well, yeah. I think there's five, and then yeah.
But I feel like we got four. We're looking for people that are willing to put in the time, because I feel like this could be a really cool and competitive format if you have everybody involved. Like having an Alabama just really took the fun out of it, because you got a lot of free players essentially, because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. The fact that you know, A, this guy doesn't end up with Colorado was the stupidest thing.
Okay. I'm going to keep saying this. I didn't put in enough time to.
Well, to be fair, I asked you like an hour before we were going to draft if you wanted to be a part of the league. So
yeah, you literally asked me the day of, so I was scrambling to look up a bunch of players, and literally I was focused on just California. So
well, because you got the number one pick.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, I was focusing on only California, and I just didn't have enough time.
Yeah, and you know, that was on me for having the idea way too late in the summer.
Yeah, that's true. I think what was interesting was like we did the picks thing before we actually had the teams, and somehow we were like, hey, we are literally looking for a guy. All they have to do is make the first pick. That's literally, if you join our league, you will have the first pick.
And you know what? Turns out that's all you needed, because
I'm number two in the league right now.
I will say drafting Mississippi. We questioned it at the time. Drafting Mississippi was actually an awesome idea.
DK and AJ Brown are gods.
I will say drafting Justin Herbert, or at least Oregon, was a little questionable. Although
the quarterback play from California quarterback
Jared Goff
has been the only one. But listen, I would not have picked Jared Goff over Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr.
That's
the start
fair.
Of the season.
Yeah, that's fair.
So coming in clutch now, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Herbert's his projected starter. So
yeah, and so right now it looks okay. But you know, hindsight 2020, and we'll do a whole hindsight episode where I've already taken down the draft, like who we drafted, and you know their ranks as of this week. And you know, locks where guys were taken. I've already taken that stuff down. We'll look at it. Do you want to guess who the number one pick of the draft was? Do you remember?
For states or
no? For the player draft. Do you remember who the number one overall pick was?
I should be able to get this. Eight. It wasn't you. Was it
Ohio? Ohio had it. Yeah. Do you know who he picked with the number one pick?
Who did he pick? Was it like Zeke or something like that, or
Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. He picked Russell Wilson as the first pick.
The thing was, and we're getting on a little bit of tangent, but I have to say this. We were sitting in our apartment, and he would not stop talking about taking a quarterback.
Right.
He would not. And it was like,
get quarterback. Like,
he was trying to tell me that I had to take a quarterback in the first round, that he was going to take Trevor Lawrence. And I was like, no, you can take, have him. I'm okay. Have him. And he goes Russell Wilson with the first pick. I was like, dude, like, what are you doing?
But okay, if we look back at the first round, how many of those players were complete duds this year?
Oh, I can show you right now. I have it. And
so let's see.
And
Russell,
oh,
Russell
it is.
Wilson,
it's
Jonathan
bad.
Taylor.
Like when you look at who people took in the first round, I think there was like three like productive first round picks.
I think
so. Russell Wilson, first overall pick. I got McCaffrey,
which has been okay.
He's RB3. You got Joe Mixon.
That was a good pick.
Saquon Barkley. That's a good pick. He's RB5. Jonathan Taylor.
Dog shit.
That's a bad pick. Derrick Henry was RB4, so that's a good pick.
He's not performing like
Najee Harris. Bust.
Kind of a bust.
Okay. And then Keenan Allen.
That was
he's been hurt. He's been hurt a lot. So, you know,
okay,
but then, bust.
But then you look at my entire list, they were all locks.
I was going through it and I was like, Devontae Adams was a third round pick. I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. We talked about this. He was the lock that went in the third round. Yeah, and we're like, what are you doing?
I don't really, because I didn't know who to pick. And so it was just okay.
I think also, weren't you going to take Joe Mixon, right? If he was available.
So yeah,
round.
I would have either taken Najee or Joe Mixon if they were available.
Right. Yeah.
So
I was looking at Alabama's draft. It's terrible. It is so bad. I don't even want to get into it right now because I'm just going to go on a complete rant about how pissed it made me at on draft day and how even more mad it makes me now.
I think it set up perfectly for me. I mean,
it did. It really did because you guys shared so many people. It was like you just got your pick of the litter. Okay. So the toilet bowl, Alabama's playing Florida. Ohio is playing Texas. I don't really care about that. It is what it is. Let me talk about points scored this season. You finished with, in the regular season, 25-64. Yep. So you, even with your bad,
I could have gotten to like 270.
Even with your bad week, you're still 140 points ahead of me. And I'm in second place. I had 24-20, and then it's Mike at 23-33, and then you at 23-05. So you, even though you know throughout the season you weren't always the highest scoring, I think you were the seventh highest scoring team at one point. You put it together, and you're fourth now.
Only 2,000 points against it helps.
Yeah, that's so true. You had the lowest points against of any team, and it wasn't particularly close. You had a 21-46. You had 2002.
I got lucky. For sure.
And then the guys on the bottom, Ohio. I've talked about it this entire season. You know, they scored a lot of points, but got really unfortunate with who they played and when they played them. Texas and Florida underperformed. Although it would have been very interesting for that last spot because Florida ended up beating out Texas by a single point.
Wow.
So had Texas been able to beat me. Yeah. It would have flipped, and Florida would have taken that spot by 1 point. By one point. And then Alabama didn't even reach 2,000.
Right. What it really ended up coming down to is with Florida laying an absolute egg by only putting up 100 points. It was just came down to you versus Texas, and you just obliterated Texas. I mean, I was checking my phone like, is this going to be interesting? No.
And this week, it didn't even get to the afternoon window. It was like right away. It was just, okay, yeah, this is going to be my week.
Texas has so few contributors that they rely on. And it's like, if those guys don't perform, immediately, you know, like, they're going to lay an egg. Yep. This game's over.
The tale of this league that I'm seeing is, you always score the points when you don't need to.
Right? That's how my year's been. That is absolutely how my year's been.
So it's just watch. You're not gonna score any.
I remember one week I lost to Cedric when he scored 231 points. It was that week, and I was the third highest scorer in the league. I was like, you can't make that stuff up.
You talked about in this league, it feels like it's kind of the haves and the have-nots in a sense where it's like we don't have a lot of close games.
No, we absolutely don't. It's like we've had a couple games decided by, you know, single-digit points, but especially with there being so many players, it's not like there's more room for guys to go off, and because it's best ball, you're not going to get those close.
And those closer games, typically, they're like the ugly, low-scoring
game. The one close big game we had was week one between you two. You went for 193, and he went for 189.
That was a great, great game. It came right down to Monday Night Football. It was awesome.
That was the start. We thought it was going to be a very competitive league, and turned out that it in the grand scheme of things, there's not a ton of games where it's like, oh, I need this to happen on Monday night, or I need him to not go there. It's like, if he goes for four touchdowns, sure. Like that happened between Mike and Cedric one time. I think Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle had two touchdowns, and Mike came back from a big deficit, but we didn't see that a ton this season. Yeah. I did want to take a look at our records between the four of us. So like round robin wise, and we all played each other in the first 4 weeks. The first 3 weeks of the season, which I was like, does the app know something here? Because I looked, I was 0-3, or I was 0-3 in my first 3 weeks, and I'd played Mike, I played you, and then I played him. And I was like, how does this happen? And we all played each other too. That's the crazy part. And so again, in like the middle of the season, we all played each other too. You went 6-0 against all of us. Your losses were to Ohio and Florida. So
yep.
I went 1-5. I went 1-5. My one win was against Mike in like week 10 or 11. He went 2-4. I think he beat you once, and then you went 3-3. You beat me twice. You split with Louisiana, and then you lost both times.
The thing was, I played all of you guys like the first 10 weeks or something like that. And in those 10 weeks, I was so dominant and so good. Yeah. It was literally like, can anybody beat me?
Yeah.
And then I got, you know, like Cooper Kupp went down, and that pretty much changed my season. And I struggled after that.
And so I think we should just get into it at this point. Been dancing around it a lot. Predictions here in the playoffs. So I'm gonna have all of us predict what we think is gonna happen. Try to be as unbiased as possible.
No.
Fair enough. Okay. let's start with the 2-3 matchup. We already went through the projections. What do you think is gonna happen with this one?
I am wiping the floor with everybody.
Oh yeah, let's go.
I was just asking about this game. You said everybody. I was just asking about this game.
Oh, well, I'm talking about the entire playoffs.
Oh yeah, I just want to know your thoughts on this game though.
Yeah, AJ Brown's going for 40 plus points.
He has Devontae Smith.
Okay. Your point.
I'm just saying.
AJ Brown will be taking all of the targets. Every single target.
Okay.
10 plus receptions. Okay. 2 touchdowns.
Wow. How many yards?
Probably over 120.
Oh, jeez. What do you think about the 2-3?
You know, I'll say this. I think, honestly, all four of us have a very clear path to win. I think any of us could win the whole thing. But I think if anybody has the best path and would be my pick to win, it would be California, because I think Louisiana is the weakest of the four of us. And I think California, like, you're playing so well right now. You know what I mean? You look the past month or so, I mean, you're one of the best teams in this league. And I think, like, you know, Bryce said, you're so healthy right now. And that's, you know, kind of the name of the game at this point in the season. I think that'll help you a lot. And I think, like he said, I think he wins fairly convincingly, probably by 15 points would be my guess.
I think you're going to win too. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but I do think you're going to be able to win this game. I just don't think Mike just doesn't have the firepower right now. And I will say having TJ Hockenson does help, because on the Vikings, his target share has gone up in an insane amount. I think he's already or is close to doubling his amount of production with the Vikings that he did with the Lions in, like, you know, half the amount of time. And so that's been huge. But there's been a lot of guys that he can't rely on consistently. And is he going to be able to get the big game? Like, DJ Chark has played well the past 2 weeks, but he's going against Sauce Gardner. Is he going to be able to produce this week? I don't know. Alan Lazard comes back, but Christian Watson now feels like that team's number one. Is he going to be able to produce? You got guys like Devontae Smith, who's the number two. He's just got a lot of number two. I will say Brandon Ayuk is going to benefit from Debo being hurt. I don't know how much, because I don't know what the game plan is going to be tomorrow night or tonight between the Seahawks and the 49ers.
The fact that it is a Thursday night game, though,
it's going to be
the quick turnaround really hurts. So
I think that, you know, considering there's a lot of questionable players, and especially with a guy like Christian McCaffrey on my team, I'm a little bit worried about that. I am. Because if he doesn't play, I am royally screwed. Royally.
You also have to be careful of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase putting up a shit ton of points against the Tampa Bay defense, who has not been performing very well.
Correct, yes. And I guess the good thing is that Jonathan Taylor, he's projected to go for 17 points. I don't know. Let me see the last time he went for 17. It was actually just 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh. But, like, when he faces a decent defense, he doesn't do very well. And so I think we're going to sit here and be, like, looking at the production from the running backs. Does ETN have a good game? Because I think he's down to 3 running backs. And if you remember, Mike didn't pick up the second roster spot that we allowed him to have. He's just like, no, I'll stick at 19. Okay. He's down to 3 running backs. He's got ETN, he's got Leonard Fournette, and Jonathan Taylor. A lot of depth there.
I only have 2 running backs, though.
Yeah, but you got your wide receivers and tight ends are so good that I really don't know if that matters all that much.
We talked about, like, you know, we both think California will win pretty convincingly. At the same time, it's fantasy football.
Exactly. There's no way to predict this.
Like, right. The Bengals have a big week, and just like that, you know, Louisiana goes for 180 points, and it's a whole different ballgame. So we don't know.
Moving to the 1v4, I'll start with you, Obert, because you are playing in this game. What do you think is going to happen?
My best guess is, unfortunately, that I lose. You look at, you know, the past few weeks, and listen, I'm just in the name of being unbiased.
He is very, we got 10 minutes left. Okay. Yep. He is very good. He is very good at being able to set aside his biases and just looking at it objectively.
Yeah, I mean, you look at my team, even like the tight end position, I haven't gotten great production out of that in weeks. You know, the depth that was so key to my team the first 10 weeks of the season, it's not there at this point. You know, so we'll see how it goes, but my best guess is I probably lose by around 5-10 points. I think it'll be a close game. Yeah. I really do. I mean, you know, I've been very solid this whole year, so it will be interesting to see, but hopefully I can be as healthy as possible and just give it, you know, the best chance I have, and we'll see how it goes from there. As dominant as my team was for so long, it's like I said, Cooper Kupp goes down. Yep. The whole trajectory of my season kind of changed because he was
such a key. You said that too when it happened. It was like,
right. He was such a key part of my offense and my team. It was just like, he put up so many points every week at a position I was kind of thin at.
Yeah.
It was kind of a heartbreaker when he went down, but at the same time, no excuses. You know, I got to win this week. I don't want to play for third place. I want to play for the whole shebang. So hopefully out of the, you know, guys I have enough guys to put up a bunch of points. It's a matter of doing it. So hopefully I can, you know, have my guys go for a big week.
What do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, I have no idea. Because, Bobby, you have the opportunity.
Cop out answer.
No, you have the opportunity to put up 200 points and absolutely blow Bryce out. But
that's true.
There's a chance that Bryce can keep it close. I mean, he put up almost 220 points last week.
It was my best outing of the year.
So why couldn't it happen again?
Having it happen 2 weeks in a row would be an insane thing, especially for my team. Your team did it, I think, like 3 or 4 straight weeks of scoring 200 points, but that was at the height of its power. Yeah. I do think I'm going to be able to win this, but it's going to be on a conditionary basis. The reason why I had such a great week last week was because my running backs carried my team, which they have the entire season. I mean, I have 3 running backs in the top 10. Like, that is the key to my success this season. Does Trevor Lawrence play well? Because I don't think I can count on Deshaun, and I don't have – and Matt Ryan and Kenny Pickett are my 2 other quarterbacks. Like, it's going to be between Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun, and I don't know if I can count on Deshaun to give me a great fantasy week. You know, he might give me 15 points. I need Trevor Lawrence to have another insane week. He's playing the Cowboys defense. That's an issue. Yep. That hasn't been the same Cowboys defense, but – Trevor Lawrence is prone to turnovers. Like, he has turned the ball over quite frequently, so you got to be careful in there. And then, do my wide receivers show up? Because I'm not predicting my running backs to have the same week that they had last week. So I need my wide receivers to show up. I need Pat Freiermuth to be healthy, because if he's not, I feel like I'm going to lose. However, you are just as banged up as I am, and you might not have a quarterback this week, which would be huge for me. So I'm going to take myself, but obviously, it's going to be a dogfight. I feel like it's going to be like 155 to 153. I mean, that's what we're heading towards. So, championship. Who are you picking to win it all? That's the question.
Yeah, I forgot. I think it's almost like last year. I don't know if you guys remember this. Final Four NCAA tournament was Duke, North Carolina on one side, and then what did we have? Kansas, like Gonzaga or something like that on the other side. And it was everyone kind of had
been like Houston, thought, maybe. Like,
maybe. Yeah, I forget. It wasn't Gonzaga.
I'll look. We only have 6 minutes left, so.
But it was that huge matchup that felt like Duke, North Carolina. On the other side, it was like, hey, if Kansas wins this game, they will kind of not have to play that emotional battle that Duke and North Carolina did.
It was Villanova.
Yeah, that's right. So if Kansas can just take care of business, they might be in the driver's seat to win the whole shebang. That's kind of what I feel like is happening right here. I mean, you know, me versus you, we're, I think, the 2 highest scoring teams in the league right now. And it's not close. For the whole season, it kind of feels like these 2 teams have been the best. Having said that, at the same time, I talked about the war of attrition thing. Having healthy bodies is so key. I feel like it'll be kind of just like a dogfight emotional sort of thing. And then California will just sneak in and just kind of take the whole crown. That would be my guess. So, Cole, it's you. I'm taking the crown.
To be honest, I agree with him.
Yeah, I do too. I thought I was going to be the outlier here. I thought I was going to be the I should have known that you were going to take yourself. Well, but
why,
like,
wouldn't I?
It's fair. It's fair.
Great.
But like, yeah, I think California. When I saw the injury stat, when I looked at how healthy his team was, That was what did it for me. It's like
being in a basketball league. It's key.
It's so important to be healthy because you can literally take anybody. That's what I love about basketball is that it rewards you so well for being a good strategist, drafting well. It's not I'm just going to sit on the waivers and hope to pick up guys who, you know, either someone got hurt in front of them or they've been playing well the first couple of weeks. Let me take them. I like to reward the people that have the foresight. And you had the foresight to take a billion wide receivers that were going to give you double-digit points, and and you can count on essentially 15 points from your last bench spot. So even though you might not have a running back go for, you know, 25 points in the same way that me or Bobby has, you do not have that drop-off on the bench. And I think that's going to be the key, especially in the playoffs. I'm going to go with you too. Unfortunately, it's going to suck to have you win the first season, especially because
you were the last person.
It was like, hey Cole, what are you doing? Nothing. You want to join my league?
Like, sure, why not?
He wins it all. And I think that goes to show just how important having a state like California is, especially next year when we talk about when your guys do get hurt, you can pick up a state like Georgia, like Texas, like California. They're going to be key because they have guys that you can go pick up on waivers when your team does get hurt. But especially this season, he just had a plethora of guys he was able to choose. And a lot of them were either mid-tier guys or in that kind of between high tier, like the elite tier and the mid to high tier. And they're playing well right now. And that's been the key. And so, unfortunately, I think you're going to take home the trophy. That's what it is.
I'm excited. Yeah. Very excited.
I am too. It should be a fun next 2 weeks. And, you know, unfortunately, going to be on vacation. So we're going to have me and you, we said we're going to try on Monday to get one done, right? At least predict what's going to happen based off of Monday Night Football. And then we won't have one for the championship. So it's going to be, I don't know what we're going to do. When I come back, we're going to have to talk about it. But like,
if Monday maybe it looks like it's a blowout or something like that, then we could probably try and predict that sort of thing.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be close in both games.
That's going to be the problem. Who's playing Monday night this week, though?
Oh, good question. I should have known that. I feel like it's not an important game.
I don't think it is either.
Close. Rams-Packers. Oh!
That could be.
I have Aaron Rodgers.
It could be for him, though, because of Christian Watson.
And Aaron Jones.
Dang it. Okay.
So that'll be a big one.
I don't have anybody in those games. I did have Allen Robinson, but he is on IR right now. So
I have two guys that just aren't playing well. It's Aaron Rodgers.
And Mike has Allen Lazard. So,
yep. So
I don't think he has anybody from the Rams.
For us, it does not really mean
not too much.
It's not going to mean too much. No, but that's going to be a big game, which is unfortunate. We're still probably going to talk about it. Yeah. And it'll be one of those where we're talking about it before it happens. And so we might sound stupid. We might sound, you know, we might have a great prediction, but for the most part, we're going to sound like we don't know what we're talking about. And it's because we don't. We're talking out of our butts for it.
It's fantasy football at the end of the day.
It's true.
It is fantasy. Okay. That's a key word.
That is the key word. I think we're good for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.